there, Kevin. Stereos Kodos with your personal episode of the 5-Minute Podcast. Thank you so much for supporting me on Patreon. Thank you for being a subscriber. You know, it's nice. That's all. Look, I won't go on and on about it. It's just nice. So thank you. All right, let's get to your topic. Kevin, you write, you inherit a failing funeral home / graveyard from a deceased long-lost family member. Spooky. What do you do to convince the locals to bury their loved ones at Kokonos funeral services instead of the competition? Example, a funeral home / Starbucks franchise combination. Oh, yeah. All right. This is the first episode I'm recording in the 5-Minute Podcast for the July sessions. And goddamn if we aren't starting off with a winner right off the bat. Why is my funeral home better than the rest? Okay, first off, Super Dave style burial stunts. Look, I'm not going to force people to do this, but I want them to really have the option. If you want to be buried in a Formula One race car that we will then launch off a cliff into a burial plot that is filled with explosives so that like a straight up column of fire shoots out when you crash your car. Well, when we crash the car, I mean, you're dead. You won't be doing it. When we crash this car into this plot, and then after the kaboom, we get some of those hot racing girls, you know, the girls that wave the flags and stuff and hold the trophy, then they bury you very sexily. And look, is that going to be expensive? Absolutely. Is the competition going to do that? Nope. They haven't even thought about it. Because here's the thing. Here's our tagline. You lived a cool life. You deserve a cool death. All right. I want to do pranks. Pranks from beyond the grave. So, let's say like there's some annoying guy who's always bothering you. It's like, your coworker Dave. Like, oh, Dave's always stealing my lunch. Dave's always taking credit for my ideas. Dave's like fucking liking all of my girlfriend's comments on Facebook and like leaving fun little comments. And it's like, that's my fucking girlfriend, Dave. Jesus Christ, Dave. What am I going to do to Dave, huh? After I'm dead, he gets invited to a thing and he thinks it's like a bachelor party. So like he shows up, walks into a room, and everybody's just pointing him and laughing at him, going, ah, ha, 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 ha. Dave sucks. Dave sucks. And then, the dead guy, you're on a TV monitor because we recorded this right before you died. And you're going, Dave sucks. Dave sucks. And then we puppet your body marionette style so that it's giving two middle fingers. And there's when your coffin pops open and on the inside of the coffin lid, it just says, Dave sucks. And then also we find like Dave's ex-girlfriends and we fly them out and they all go like, Dave got a tiny wiener. Do, 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 small man. Now look, licensing the theme to Batman 67 alone is going to be a pretty penny, let alone flying people out, puppeting you. The whole fake invitation thing. Again, these are not cheap funerals at Kokonos Funeral Home. And if you're looking for the cheapest funeral, then go somewhere else. I guess this person meant nothing to you. I guess life is pretty cheap, huh? That's what I'll say. That's how I upcharge you. All right, I'm running out of time. One more just fucking awesome goddamn funeral. All right, here's what we do. Let's say a loved one dies. You love them very much. God damn it. They lived like a great life. They deserve a great death. We cut their body up into 8 pieces and we have 8 different funerals. One of the, like, your hand. Like, we chop off your cool uncle's hand. You grind that up. Melt it, you know, or whatever, cremate it. Shoot that into space. That's one. Your uncle's right hand. What do we do? We slap cute girl's butt with it a million times. Like, there's a cute girl at the funeral, and she's like, spank, spank, spank. And she's going like, oh, naughty. Two, what do we do with Dave's legs? We use him to kick some asshole's ass. Like, we find some guy in prison who, like, sucks. Like, he's a shitty guy. Like, he did bad stuff to, he stole money from the poor. We use your uncle's legs to kick this guy's ass. We use this guy's head. What do we do with the head? Melt it. Get the skull. That's right. Now his skull is going to be in the Steppenwolf Theater's production of Hamlet. He's Yorick now. He's going to star forever on the stage. And so on. And, stuff with his dick, etc. Anyway, that's it for your personal episode of the 5 Minute Podcast. I hope you've enjoyed this tour of the Coconuts Funeral Home. I'll talk to you later. Hey there, David. It's Asterios Coconuts with your personal episode of the 5 Minute Podcast. Thank you so much for being a subscriber and a supporter of me on Patreon. I'm sorry it's a little bit late. June has been insane. But let's get to your topic. David, you write, share a few tales from the sad and storied life of Mos Eisley Cantina Lounge singer Billy Joel, from his famous feud with the Modal Nodes to his harrowing battle with death stick addiction. Give us some insights into Billy Joel's time on Tatooine. All right, how does the piano man become the holographic piano man? The first thing we've got to decide is he from Tatooine or did he end up there? I mean, Billy Joel's from Long Island. We all know that. But I'm from Long Island, and I can tell you right now, there are a lot of similarities to Tatooine. A, we all dream about getting the fuck out of Long Island. Much like Luke Skywalker wanted to, have adventures amongst the stars. If you grew up on Long Island, you just want to get to New York City as fast as possible and never leave. When I was growing up on Long Island, I mean, I'm not kidding when I say this. The only thing to do at night for a kid was to go to the 7-Eleven parking lot and then wait for the cops to tell you to leave. Then you would go to a beach parking lot and then the cops would show up there and they would tell you to leave. You'd go back to 7-Eleven and you would just, that's all there was. That's what you did. And so I can imagine Billy Joel saying like, one of these days I'm going to get out of the hot sun. And the other hot sun, I'm gonna make my way to the city of Mos Eisley. Throw away the moisture evaporators, get myself a hollow piano and diddy bop shades, yeah. In the force I've got faith, yeah, yeah, yeah. In the force I've got faith, boo-doo-doo-doo-doo, boop, boop, boop. We'll say goodbye to Uncle Owen and Aunt Peru. Say hello to some scumbags and bounty hunters. I hope Wurrer the bartender doesn't notice that I got my best friend droid with me. They're not allowed in the cantina. Hope I don't run into Dr. Evazan. Ponda Baba 2, he's got a butt face. I don't want that face. All right. Billy Joel grows up in the Dune Sea. He starts gambling to get ahead. He starts gambling just out of boredom. And maybe he'll strike it rich and be able to buy himself a cruiser and get the hell off that rock. He ends up indebted to Wurrer at the Mos Eisley Cantina. And so, he's a piano man, but he's not even fucking... He's just working for tips. Like, Wurrer likes his music enough that he's allowed to keep his tips, but like Billy Joel doesn't get paid. And if Billy Joel even thinks of leaving Mos Eisley, he knows that Wurrer has served enough drinks to bounty hunters that he'll end up dead somewhere. So Billy Joel's in this literally a dead end job, playing songs and hitting on hot Twi'leks. Things like that. And all of a sudden, one day, who walks in? Obi-Wan Kenobi and Luke Skywalker. And they're like,
We're looking for somebody who can arrange for transport. And Billy Joe was like, you mean transport away from this bad time? Because I'm going to play a song. Then all of a sudden he's like, inner core girl, you've been living in your inner core world. You've been looking for an outer rim guy. You know the kind of guy. You wonder why he doesn't fly. And then Obi-Wan Kenobi and Luke Skywalker just looking at him, like, real confused. They're staring at him some more. They start to slowly back away. Inner core girl, my core world girl. Coruscant waits. The outer rim awaits for this Coruscant girl. And then they go up to, I think, Dengar, and they're like, can you help us find way off this planet, please? Dengar's like, yeah, you should probably go talk to Han Solo. He's the guy that's currently being, he's the guy, you know, here's what you're looking for. You know the guy who's currently got a gun drawn on him? Hire that guy. He's like, okay, thanks, friend. No, wait, it wasn't Dengar, it was Boshek. Boshek's the guy who told Obi-Wan and Luke that they could hire Han Solo. Because Boshek, I think, was busy that day. Come up with one more good Billy Joel. Oh, all right. I assume that word of Billy Joel's amazing hollow piano playing eventually gets to Jabba. Then Jabba's like, Gupatutatuka Jolo. Which means like, hey, Billy Joel's gonna work for me now, and if you don't like that, I'm gonna blow up your bar. And Wurr's like, okay. And so, now, cut to years later, we got Luke Skywalker. He's on the plank, and he goes, last warning, Jabba, release me or die. And Jabba's like, oh, ho, 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 ho. And then Jabba's like, all right, throw him in the Sarlacc pit. Then all of a sudden, R2-D2, he's trying to launch the lightsaber, but for some reason, it's jammed. There's a harmonic disturbance in his audio frequalizer that's stopping the little door from opening. And Billy Joel sees this is going on, and he goes, uh-oh, it's another busted-ass kid from the Dune Sea, just like me. I'm gonna help him out. And he starts playing like, you know the Death Star had a big shot, didn't it? It blew up Alderaan. Oh yeah, bump up up. The Death Star had a big shot, didn't it? And it ruined Rebel plans. The Death Star had a nice turbo laser, single or double ignition, yeah. Then it blew up into a white hot spotlight. It had to be the Death Star last night. And this song perfectly attunes with R2-D2's Vocaloid frequalizer. And so the little door opens up, launches a lightsaber out. Luke Skywalker murders everybody, like 500 people. And then in the end, like Luke Skywalker goes up to Billy Joel and goes, hey, you saved our lives back there. How'd you like to join the rebellion? Instead of being a piano man, you could be an interstellar piano man. And Billy Joel puts on his Diddy Bop shades, turns around, surveys all the corpses and carnage. Jabba the Hutt's been choked to death. He goes, that sounds like a plan. Go Rebels! All of a sudden, cut to credits in the middle of the fight. R2-D2 went blue bleep, so I played a great song. And now Jabba will sleep, because Jabba is dead. He's no longer alive. Now let's get out of here with Han's hyperdrive. In the middle of the fight. Hey there, Cliff. It's Asterios Coconuts with your personal episode of the 5-Minute Podcast. Thank you so much for being a subscriber. What a crazy experiment this is. And thank you for supporting it. Let's get to your topic. Cliff, you write, what are your desert island desserts? And how would you keep them from spoiling in the tropical heat? Oh my gosh, this is a good question. Well, You know, when you ask someone what their desert island discs are, spoilage is never an issue. So my desert island desserts in a perfect world would be anything called death by chocolate.
Full stop.
Here's the thing. You go to 10 different restaurants, you ask for 10 different death by chocolates, you're gonna get 10 different dishes. Some of them are gonna be like a mixture of ice cream cake and chocolate. Some of them are gonna be like regular cake with chocolate. Some of them are gonna be like some sort of flourless brownie with a regular brownie, layers of chocolate in between. You know you're getting chocolate because you're being killed by it, but there's no, oh, this is so interesting to me. If I ask for chocolate pudding, I know what I'm getting. If I ask for chocolate cake, I know what I'm getting. Death by chocolate really is up to, you know, it kind of reminds me of that sushi dish, chirashi. I remember one time I went to get sushi with my friend Peach Saliva, who knows fluent Japanese. And I was like, hey, can I get some chirashi? You want a chirashi? She's like, what? I'm like, chirashi sushi. What the hell are you talking about? You live in Japan. You're a little Miss Sushi over here. And she's like, well, I don't know what that is. So I pointed at it on the menu and she goes, oh, it's chirashi. And I was like, shut the fuck up. This is America. It's called chirashi sushi. Chirashi. Anyway, chirashi sushi is like chef's choice. Hey there, chef. Take a bunch of sushi rice. You know, that stuff that Jiro dreams of. Put whatever your favorite fish is on it. Same thing with death by chocolate. How would you kill someone with chocolate, chef? How would you do it? But no matter what, death by chocolate is not going to survive in a desert heat. There's no, okay. Unfortunately, that put Cookie Puss right off the table, which is not where I want Cookie Puss. I want Cookie Puss on the table. And around St. Patrick's Day, I want his mint chocolate chip cousin, Cookie Opus, on the table. And if you don't know what Cookie Puss is, or Cookie Opus, his Irish cousin, look them up on YouTube. I'll wait. All right, I'm guessing that you've looked at them by now. Pretty cool, right? Anyway, Cookie Puss is dead in the desert. Fudgy the Whale, he's been beached. So in a desert environment, I guess I gotta go with one of those cookies the size of your head. Those humongous chocolate chip cookies. They should just be called like diabetes kits. Just one of those. Because if you've ever had a cookie get warm in your pocket, and if your name is Asterios Kokonos, you definitely have. Makes it taste better. Makes the chocolate all melty. The dough all chewy. I don't want a crunchy cookie. I don't. I want a chewy cookie. And if you want a crunchy cookie, I get it. I just honestly feel like, how do I describe this? I don't want to do that much work to eat a cookie. I kind of, a pre-chewed cookie, aka a chewy cookie, that's the perfect thing for that's the lazy man's cookie. And I'm the lazy man's comedian. Anyway, so if you get one of those cookies the size of your head out in the desert heat, it's baking. It's just always ready for you. The chocolate's always melty. Dough, no, it's gooey. Smell, no, it's inviting. Cookie the size of my head. Wait, how can I get one of those delivered right now? Okay, Grubhub, Postmates, Amazon Now, Yelp's Eat 24 option. Seamless. What a fucking future this is. I live in New York goddamn city. You know they deliver McDonald's here? They do. Uber Eats. If you, which to me defeats the purpose of McDonald's, because it's like you're getting McDonald's because you don't have other options. So the idea that you would want McDonald's delivered to you at your house where you have unlimited options, AKA the options I listed earlier, this makes no sense to me. But on the other hand, it's always been my dream to be at like some party, and it's like a sad party. Everyone's like, "Wah, we don't like this party." All of a sudden, boop, boop, peep, pop, pop. Guess who gets 300 chicken McNuggets delivered? Party hero. That's right. Anyway, that's it for your personal episode of the 5-Minute Podcast. Cliff, thank you so much.
I'll talk to you later.
Hello there, Lake Umbra. Welcome to The Mike Cernovich Show, a podcast about all the things that you need to know about what's wrong with the world and what's right with the CERN. A vitch, that is. I'm going to CERN a vitch slap the Democrats. And if you don't like it, I've got four letters for you. C-U-C-K. That's right. You're a cuck. That's what I call people I disagree with. And it always works and it's always funny. Okay. I see you have a golden ticket to my mysterious and magical Pill Emporium, where every single one of my pills are made. Follow me. First thing we're gonna do is go through the curtain of liberal lies. That's right. Did you know that vaccinations are bad? That's literally something I believe and talk about. This isn't just fucking around here. When you put that poison in your baby's veins, you might as well be giving them the poison pill. Oh no, sorry baby. Some scientist in a lab coat said that I should stick a bunch of goo in your arm, and now you're dead. R.I.P. my baby. That's right, science, you got Cernovich slapped. Now that we're through the curtain of liberal lies, we reach my first pill, the red pill. Yes, stick your hands down in there. Stick your hand in there real good and swallow up these red pills. Ah, you'll see your preconceptions floating away. You know how sometimes you trust what women say? And how, like, you can treat them like human beings? And who have valid opinions? Not anymore. Because those feelings are being wiped away by the red pill. Ooh, goodbye, empathy. Hey, you know how we sometimes empathize with those who have less than us? So long, and then you give the red pill, oh boy, there they go. Okay, now let's get soaking wet in my tub of rainbow pillication. We will take all they make, and we'll sing all day and all night. Hey, little boy, you're not supposed to touch that computer where you can fact check the things I say. You're out of the factory. Oompa loompa doopity dum. You are going, I'm going to get you fired from your job. Oompa loompa doopity dee. This is what happens when you mess with Mike C. What do you get with a guy that checks facts? You get a seat with a bunch of thumbtacks. What do you get when you question my words? I'm gonna flip you both the birds. Bum, 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 bum. I'm an adult who does this for a living. Oompa loompa doopity doo. I exist. I really do. I'm not a caricature at all. I'm not Oompa Loompa, very tall. Dum bum 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 bum. That's why I'm angry at girls. Bum 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 bum. I want to control what they do and what they think. The end. Well, that's about it for your tour of Mike Cernovich's magical Pillporium. On the way out, if you wouldn't mind just signing a couple of pieces of paper. One, any inappropriate touching that's about to happen to you is totally cool. All right, let's grab that pussy. Okay, come over here and it's time to grab that pussy. Okay, no, you're leaving? Okay. Please come back. I'm so lonely. It's just me and my pills. My pills are my only friends. And sometimes I feel like I'm trapped in this castle of pills. Black pills, blue pills, red pills,
green pills, rainbow pills. Pills don't comfort you on your deathbed. Pills don't visit you in the hospital. You can't watch pills. You can't walk a pill down the aisle. You can't see a pill throw, graduate from college. Did I make a mistake? Maybe I spent so much time with my pills, my precious pills, that I didn't spend enough time connecting with humanity. Maybe I should stop what I'm doing, and instead of trying to tear people down and call them cucks, destroy their lives, maybe I should access some kind of human empathy and try to create a society where we all get along, even if we disagree about the little things. One second. I've got to take a purple pill.
No.
I'm back, baby! Oh, yeah! It's time for pills, pills. Let's find the guy who runs a small business and destroy it because he's a liberal. I'm using Twitter to ruin lives. It's like a funny game to me, to kid, to destroy people. I'm Cernovich, and Cernovich is saying Cerna goodnight.
Hey, Matt!
Hi, Mel. Stereos Koganos with your personal episode of the 5-Minute Podcast. Sorry it's a little bit late. Thank you so much for backing me up. Thank you for supporting me in this crazy, crazy endeavor to release podcasts for individual people. Why did I do this? It is so much harder than I thought. Look, you're not paying for complaints. You're paying for laughs. Let's get to it. Matt and Mel, you write, happy birthday. Well, fucking thank you. You guys are like some of the only people that wish me a happy birthday that I give a shit about. Please make something up. Can it include your stunt double? 1990s Kevin Sorbo. You know what? I was always an Aeolus guy. I don't know. You know, I look at Kevin Sorbo, I'm thinking to myself like, this guy's kind of boring. Aeolus was where the laughs were. Additionally, not so much into Xena as I am into Gabrielle. Maybe I'm a sidekick guy. Did Gabrielle and Aeolus ever take it to the bone zone? Which in ancient Greek culture means having sex. That's not a term a lot of people know. All right, I'm Googling it right now. Did Gabrielle and Aeolus ever take it to the, quote, bone zone, end quote? Okay. They did in this fan fiction, Tiny Terror. All right. Let's read some goddamn random fan fiction. This may be the quickest to become unhinged episode of the 5-Minute Podcast ever. Okay. This is fanfic from someone named Tiny Terror. The author has written 4 stories for Kingdom Hearts, Transformers, and Warriors. I'm 17 years old. I'm not afraid of anything. I can be really hyper at times. Sometimes I find myself walking around the house for no reason. Other times I'm like Zexon, and most of the time everyone ignores me. Okay, this isn't really fan fiction. This looks like it's just someone's bio. What? Oh no. Okay, here's the thing. So this is someone's bio on fanfiction.net. Again, their name is Tiny Terror. Post ID number 304-6574. 304-6574. You know, a lot of times people I know complain about like, quote, Tumblrinas. They complain about like all these like weirdos who are into Homestuck and shipping and making all the characters on Steven Universe have sex with each other, even though several of them are just children. But this lady wrote a poem about how much of a transformer she is. Normal girls want to marry boys. We want to marry mechs. Normal girls say, have hearts. We have sparks. Oh no. Normal girls say annoying. We say Starscream. Well, that's actually pretty good. Okay. I wonder if this girl's single. That's a pretty good zinger. That's a pretty good burn on Starscream. All right. Turn down the volume of the Spy Vanna podcast because I'm about to do my Starscream impression and it's real loud. I'm also going to back up from the mic, okay? Step, 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 footsteps, noises.
I'm Starscream! I should control the Decepticons! Optimus! I'll get you!
That guy's annoying as fuck. Starscream, huh? Also, same voice, Cobra Commander. I own a comic book where Cobra Commander and Starscream hang out. I do own it. Normal girls drink alcohol, we drink high grade. Well, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't be drinking gasoline. I don't care if you're a normal girl or a fun girl, just don't do it. Normal girls say sex, we say interface. All right, where's this girl's phone number? Where's this girl? God damn it. She even wrote like a poem to her favorite Transformer breakdown where she's like, B is for the blue and orange Decepticon. R is for a really awesome hammer. E is for Energon, yours, which was spilled by the servos of Arachnid. God damn it. I know a couple of girls at this point who are way too into Transformers. I've never really put it together before that this is like a thing. My friend Peach Saliva, she like knows everything about the Transformers and has all these like $300 toys and all this shit. And if you don't know who she is, look her up. She's like a fucking Maxim model and a video game player. She's always talking about like the AllSpark and shit. And like how the one will rise, one will fall. It's all this crap. They're just toy commercials. They're 22 minute long toy commercials. I have tried so many times to watch Transformers. I'm like, maybe this will be the time that it's good. Nope, still complete garbage. At least with the G.I. Joes. You got Lady J. She's all right. Short hair, don't care. Lady J all day. I wouldn't mind her ordering me around as long as the order was for her to sit on my face. Anyway, that's it for your personal episode of the 5 Minute Podcast. I hope you've enjoyed this odd, random trek into a... Oh, God, this was written in 2011. She said she was 17 at the time. She's 22 now. Someone needs to tell her that this is still here. Anyway, I'll talk to you later.
Hey there, James. It's Stereos Coconuts with your personal episode of the 5 Minute Podcast. Thank you so much for backing me up. Thank you for supporting me here on Patreon. It is a crazy experiment that we're doing to send individual podcasts to individual people, and it's nice to have your support. Let's get to your topic. James, you write, I want to hear about Marvel's reboot of Civil War taking place in the actual Civil War, with the Punisher acting as a John Brown-style abolitionist, Reed Richards probably measuring skulls and dropping words like mongoloid. Which Avengers end up on the wrong side of history this time? All right. Let's really think about this for a second. My first thought is that Tony Stark is on both sides because he is a munitions dealer. So I think, look, Stark Industries is in the Northeast. Most of the superhero activity is in the Northeast. So it's going to be kind of complicated to get some, you know, kind of a fair fight, but we'll figure it out. I think the first thing Tony Stark does is he comes out and he's like, slavery's wrong. And I definitely agree that there should not be slaves, and I'm going to donate 1,000 of my clockwork men, my tin men, to the Union Army so they can free the slaves. And then he very quietly starts a new company. Maybe he reaches out to Obadiah Stane, and they start making tin men for the Confederates as well. And they're called, like, Freedom. In the North, they're called, like, Stark's Freedom Fighter, Ferris Freedom Fighters, or no, okay, wait. The Steel Liberties. I can do this. They're called like Constitution Crushers. No, that would be those would be the Confederates. I
can do this. They would be called, you know what, he'd probably just call them the Iron Brigade. So just the Iron Brigade. When I say that Vision is also, Vision is decidedly pro-union because he's like, people see us machines as slaves. I feel like all sentient beings should be free. And then we get a great scene where the union just like shoves his two intangible hands into General Lee and then makes them tangible again and bores two huge holes into a Confederate general. I love the idea that Reed Richards sees slavery as the greater good because he's like, well, don't you see? I mean, much like you said, I think that he finds some weird phrenology way to assume that like African Americans are not human. He's like, we could call them the Inhumans. And it's like, ugh, this is getting kind of creepy. And then of course the Human Torch is like, so he's a fucking hothead. He's super into the idea of secession. I also want to say, I think that's the Invisible Woman. It's also probably pro-slavery because she's like, well, they do all my stuff. Like they do the dishes and shit so I can focus on science or whatever the fuck I do. I think that Ben Grimm is like, I don't know. Because Ben Grimm is Jewish and the Jews have a long history with being oppressed. But I'm going to say Ben Grimm like goes along with it in the short term. So the Fantastic Four literally launch Four Freedoms Tower and it like takes off from New York and it lands just right on the Mason-Dixon line. And the Fantastic Four become the States' Rights Rangers. Yep. All right. Who else? Obviously, the big one is Captain America. I don't know what side of this he comes down on. Okay, if Marvel was really doing this, they would find a way to make Captain America a Confederate. Because Marvel's job is to defy expectations. So, the ultimate patriot would, you know, maybe he'd see the, it's like he's not in favor of slavery, but at the same time, he's not in favor of the federal government acting like a bully. They would have to do that if this were a real thing, which to me is a betrayal of the character because Captain America stands for freedom everywhere. He's like fought to free interstellar slaves in Kree Skrull wars and shit. Oh my God, I know how they get around this. The Confederates have a Captain America and the Union soldiers have a Captain America and we don't know which one is the real Steve Rogers. It turns out at the end of it that the Confederate Captain America is actually America's greatest actor in disguise, John Wilkes Booth. Later, shoots Abraham Lincoln with like a laser derringer. Anyway, there'd be a lot of fighting on both sides, brother against brother. You got Samuel L. Jackson's Nick Fury running on a really underground railroad where he literally has like some sort of steam-powered hypercar freeing slaves. Spider-Man's fighting for the Union because in this timeline, his great aunt May sewed the original American flag. And Mary Jane sends like a bunch of like hot cheesecake pics to Union soldiers to kind of keep them company at night, if you know what I mean. And so all these superheroes are fighting amongst each other. And then it turns out that the whole thing is a plan from the Skrulls. And they all come together and beat the Skrulls. And then they kind of settle the Civil War thing through parliamentary means. And slavery is ended, and everybody wins. And that's it for your episode of the 5-Minute Podcast. I actually feel like that, I'm not kidding. I really feel like this is how Marvel would do it. I feel like Marvel, at the end of the day, wouldn't want to pick a side. Kind of like how in The Dark Knight Returns, you know, it wasn't Superman versus Batman. It was like Superman was being coerced by the federal government. So it was like a lot of gray on both sides. And it turns out that the real bad guys in The Dark Knight Returns averse, if you read The Dark Knight Returns 2, is Lex Luthor and Brainiac and shit. It's just easier that way. That way, Reed Richards doesn't have to be a bad guy. Marvel can still sell comics in the South. They can still sell comics in the North. It turns out the whole Civil War is like a Skrull plot.
and they all team up. They beat the Skrulls. That's how you do it. I'll talk to you later. Make mine Marvel.
Fabio, hey, it's Asterios Kogutos with your personal episode of the 5-Minute Podcast. Thank you so much for being a subscriber. Thank you for supporting me on Patreon. Let's get to your topic. Fabio, you write, I would like you to discuss Stargate, the movie, SG-1, and Atlantis, if you have seen any or all of it. Just generally talking about Stargate will be fine. I don't know anyone personally who's watched any of the Stargate things, let alone owns hard copies of all of it, like I do. Oh my god, do you own that DVD box that's like a Stargate? When you open it up, there's like a bunch, it's like you're opening the Stargate, and then Stargate is inside, and Stargate Atlantis, and whatever, Stargate Legacy, I don't know. There's like so many goddamn Stargates. Anyway, thanks for being a funny motherfucker. Oh, Fabio. As a backup, how about the new Trek movies? Well, I'm glad you included that backup, because I haven't watched any of Stargate. I don't know why I couldn't. I think as a kid, I probably had too much on my plate. Deep Space Nine, Next Generation, Babylon 5, reading the books, Star Wars, playing the TIE Fighter game, playing the X-Wing game. That's a lot of shit. I got friends that watch Stargate. I know a lot of people are crazy, gate crazy for that Stargate. Anytime I would try to watch it, it would just kind of look like a Sci-Fi Channel movie of the week. It's like, okay, some of these guys have some kind of problem. They fixed it. Phew. There was always that African-American guy, the giant guy with the weird forehead symbol. I don't know, was he a robot? I don't know why, but that forehead thing creeped me out. And then later I find out there's an episode of Stargate with Wayne Brady in it. My nemesis! But let me tell you something I have seen. All of the new Star Trek movies. And I actually have not talked to anybody about them. I mean, on this podcast. So let's fucking do it. That first J.J. Abrams Star Trek movie was so goddamn good. I still think about sequences from it today. Fucking love it. Chris Pine, I thought was great. Captain Kirk. I think that the opening sequence where he's driving that car to sabotage and he drives the car off a cliff. It's just like, I love that Captain Kirk hates his stepdad so much that he's just like, ah, fuck you and fuck your car. I'm going to drive it off a cliff for no good reason. I'm James Tiberius Kirk. The opening sequence where fucking Thor, Captain Kirk's dad, is like, firing all those phasers and shit at that Romulan ship to get his pregnant wife out, and you know, it's like then she's given birth as the escape pod leaves the thing, and then they're talking and like he hears his baby crying and right before he dies, it's like, that's some really gripping stuff, J.J. Abrams. That's a real good way to get me to care about your characters. That so much fucking drama is occurring around their birth. Jesus Christ. And then right away, you hate, what is his name? Shinzon? Clorp? I don't know. Nero! Right away, you fucking hate Nero. You're like, Nero killed Captain Kirk's dad. Nero almost killed baby Kirk! And for what? And you know what? I know for what. Because I read the prequel comic. What happened was, Nero, there was like a whole fucking, Superman, Kal-El, Jor-El situation. Nero is going to like the Romulan Science Council and is like, hey, there's this, something's gonna fucking fuck up this planet. We gotta evacuate the planet. And the Romulan Senate's like, preposterous. Nothing will ever fuck up our planet. It's unfuckable. And then Nero goes to Spock and is like, Spock, you gotta help me. And Spock's like, I will do what I can. And so Spock and Nero team up, do a bunch of shit, try and stop this plan from blowing up. You know who helps? Fucking Captain Data. of the Enterprise E. Yeah, he's got Admiral Picard on board. And also Worf is there. I don't know what, Governor Worf? I don't know. They all got promoted. That's the important thing. When they get older, they get promoted. Thank God, they deserve it. They saved the galaxy like 40 times. After the events of Wolf 359, I would have made everyone on that ship a captain. Or at least everyone in the senior staff. Anyway, Romulus gets destroyed, and then Nero goes cray-cray. Nero's like, this is all your fault, Federation. You tried to help me, but didn't try hard enough. I hate you, Spock. This is your fault. And it's like, okay, well, that's a very Star Trek move. That someone, like, because he lost his family. He, like, goes crazy. He's like, I blame everyone but the people who did the thing. Like, isn't that what fucking Khan Noonien Singh Soon did? I don't know. Anyway, so I like it. I like that cool, like the way the Enterprise looks. I like what's his name is Spock, Sexy Uhura, like that. Like Sulu, Chekhov, RIP. That's not funny. It is sad, that poor guy. But I love these guys. Sulu's got a sword. Does some sort of sword fight on top of a mining array. Because for the moment, the bad guys forget how to shoot their guns. And it's like, that's all. It's like, well, okay, whatever. I don't care. Just do your sword fight there, guy. Get Captain Kirk, like, falling to the ground. And then fucking, you got to get Chekhov to teleport him. Got old Spock, young Spock, you got young Kirk, old Spock. Everyone's teaming up, fighting Nero, saving the day. Love that first Star Trek movie. God damn it. Great movie. Star Trek 2, gigantic disappointment. Holy shit. I could not have been more disappointed. It was so sad. It was just Star Trek 1 again. It's like, didn't this guy spend the whole last movie maturing to the point where he's a captain? And so they got to do something where it's like, he's immature. He's still immature. Look, he's robbing this planet of their space fucking scroll. Nah, he's immature. We better make him a XO again, even though he saved Earth. And then to just make the bad guy Khan. It's like, okay, well, I guess you're out of ideas. And then the third movie I like. I was just thinking, like, I should watch the third movie again because it's real fun. Anyway, that's it for your episode of the 5-Minute Podcast. Thank you so much for being a subscriber. I'll talk to you next time.
Hey there, Yo-T. It's Asterios Kokonos with your personal episode of the 5-Minute Podcast. Thank you so much for backing me up on Patreon. Thank you for being a subscriber for these 6 or 7 months. God damn. Thank you. Let's get to your topic. Yo-T, you write, like George Foreman's grill, describe what would be the Asterios Kokonos, as seen on TV, cooking gizmo. Well, I'm going to pitch you a couple because I'm finding it hard to choose. But the first thing that filled my mind, has this ever happened to you? You've got some delicious fried chicken, delicious French fries, get yourself some delicious onion rings, but they're just not fried enough. Introducing the Asterios Kokonos really deep fryer. It's a 2-chamber system. Okay, because look, here's what actually happens when you fry something. You're burning the outside of it. Like, you can't really fry chicken. Like, if you just shove some fucking chicken in a deep fryer, like, what you're actually going to be doing is scarring the outside of a chicken. Like, what you're doing is you're creating an unedible layer of chicken that you're going to have to, like, saw through to get to the chicken, which is going to taste weird. So, you know, how you fry something is you bread it with something, or you coat it, or you batter it, and what you're doing is you're frying the batter. You go fucking chop up an onion and stick it in a goddamn fryer and you'll see what I'm talking about. But here's what you do. You bread the onion, you put it in this one chamber, and then at one point it sinks into a second chamber
where that fried thing is re-battered and re-breaded, and it sinks into an even deeper chamber that just fries the shit out of this fried shit. And here's the thing. There's a reason that we're going down, down, down. The deeper you sink into a deep fryer, it's like drilling for oil. The farther down you go, the richer you get. It's like the middle of a... You're not eating the Twinkie for the breading, for the thing on the outside. You're eating the Twinkie for the cream. How do I explain this? God, I'm getting so excited just talking about this.
My heart is especially getting excited. It's beating faster. I'm getting sweatier. I'm smelling almonds. My arm is hurting from anticipation of all these fries I'm going to eat. Nummy num num. By which I mean my arm has gone nummy num num. Anyway, there's something about the way cooking oil works where all the worst, most disgusting, most delicious stuff sinks to the bottom. It's like a fossil record of deliciousness. Just random bits of batter and cholesterol that's having sex with other cholesterol to make some kind of super cholesterol. And that's where the fry frying happens. So you better believe. Here's what you're gonna need in order to get the Asterios Kokonos really deep fryer. It requires a note from a doctor, and you have to sign a waiver in order to buy it. It is the first cooking implement that's like, use at your own risk. This is gonna revolutionize the way we hurt ourselves. And look, I'm looking for new ways to hurt myself all the fucking time. I just talked about this on the last episode of the 5 Minute Podcast I did, but I have to talk about it because it's so exciting. I moved to a new neighborhood in Brooklyn. It is an ancient 160-year-old Italian neighborhood. Gorgeous Italian restaurants, delis, old bars from like the Civil War, and you turn your head to the right and you see the Brooklyn Bridge. It's like a postcard. But the thing I'm most excited about, you turn your head to the left, Pizzeria Uno's. Oh my God, did you hear that ding? That's the ding of success. Ugh, I gotta get down there right away. Maybe I can sell them the Asterios Kokonos really deep fryer. Okay, and as a bonus, that's not all. You also get... Oh, I know. It's an ice cream scooper that somehow just, like, plunges its way all the way to the bottom of the carton, extends sort of a saucer-esque platform, and just lifts the entire carton's worth of ice cream into your bowl. Because fuck this scooping shit. Has this ever happened to you? You're eating ice cream out of the carton, but you feel guilty about it? Now you got the solution. The Asterios Kokonos Carton Scooper. Now you're eating from a bowl, like an adult. Anyway, that's it for your episode. Yoti, thank you again for backing me up, and I'll talk to you next time. Hey there, Eugene. It's Asterios Kokonos with your personal episode of the 5 Minute Podcast. Thank you so much for being a subscriber. Thank you for backing me up in this silly, insane thing I do every month. Let's get to your topic. Eugene, you write, why are you a cat or a dog person? Also, which is better and why? I'm glad that you separated this into two different questions because the answer is not the same for either one. Which is better? A dog. Obviously, dogs can like pick up phones and dial 911. If you fall down a well, dogs will run to the farmhouse and tell your parents. They are dogs that are big enough that you could put a little saddle on that dog and then put a toddler on that saddle and then put a cowboy hat on that toddler, on that saddle, on that dog. there are dogs small enough that you could, like, lose them under a couch, maybe forever. Dogs are like, they'll run right up to you and they'll lick your face. They're super affectionate. There are some dogs that are like so... I forget which dog it is. If it's like the pug or the boxer. There's this one dog with like a real smushy, fucked up face. And it is so inbred that it is... It's just... It's like irrevocably mentally challenged. So if you want to sit around and watch TV all day, this dog will also do that. And it's totally fine. And it's completely healthy for the dog. You kind of like don't need to walk this dog a lot. You can just like sit and watch TV with this dog. The end. I like that a lot. Now here's the thing though. I'm a cat person who wants to like... I'd love to visit a dog. If I'm at a party and there's a dog there, like, why would I talk to anyone at the party? There's a dog here. And I don't know how much time I'm going to have to spend with that dog. So I really got to get that dog time in. But I could never own a dog. Because A, why don't you just have a kid and just get it over with? If you're looking for something that you are completely responsible for keeping alive, and the slightest screw up will kill, get a dog or a kid. That's what I'm saying. It's just like with a kid, you get the social contract, which is I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to put up with your bullshit. And then when I'm old, you're going to take care of me and put up with my bullshit. And that's it. The end. With a dog, you got to walk them and feed them. And you have, it's just so much responsibility. Imagine a Tamagotchi, okay? That's 100 times harder. And it's 1,000 times sadder when they die. There's no reset button on a dog. You can't just change a dog's battery. That's it. That's heavy, man. With a cat, you could definitely own a cat. You could forget to feed a cat for a couple of days. And it will just run outside and take care of itself. You could not see a cat for weeks. Just put the food in the bowl and just fill the thing with the water. And it's like, okay, I'll see you never. And the cat's like, okay. Having a cat is like, it's like having a really good roommate who just kind of gives you space. But I don't know, when you want to cuddle, maybe the cat wants to cuddle. That's the thing. It's like, the thing I like about cats, they like showing affection, but then at some point they get bored of it. Just like me, ladies. It's a lot harder to screw up a cat. And the reason is because cats are dumb as shit. Cats are so, so stupid that they don't really even know what they want from you. And they don't know how to feel about you. I'm sure you've heard this factoid, but just in case, if you, let's say like you live in a house with a pet and you keel over and die and all the doors are locked and there's no pet doors, a dog will wait 3 days before it eats you. Because like this dog is like super like, the dog will like more than you're passing. And the dog will start by eating your hands. A cat will wait about 8 hours. Even if there's food out. That's the thing. The cat's like, I mean, I guess I could eat this bowl of food, these Friskies, but... I mean, I've got delicious fresh human meat right here. And guess what the cat starts eating? The cat starts eating your face first. Oh, am I a dog person now? What am I doing? Wait a minute. Oh, now I ended up more confused. I suppose the debate continues. No. Look, I'm not getting a dog. I can barely take care of myself, as the Jen Kirkman book is so aptly named. Like, how am I going to take care of a dog? The saddest dog in the world. Cat. I'm pretty sure at this point, I can buy enough stuff from Amazon that just, like, takes care of the cat for me. Self-cleaning litter box. Self-filling bowl. Like, self-refreshing water dish. This is like, oh, there's a small army of robots to take care of this cat. I'm watching TV. It's going to hop in my lap. If I fall asleep, it'll sleep on my tummy. Not because it loves me, but because my tummy's warm. And then we both benefit. All right. Anyway, that's it for your personal episode of the 5 Minute Podcast. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you next time.
You have just listened to the hour-long 5-minute podcast. I'm your host, obviously, Stereos Kokonos. I'd like to thank my producer, Zwick. He is an awesome, amazing audio producer. He's also a very good video editor. The musicians who let us use their music for this episode, we got Common Miner, ACIOU Vistas, Jerry Driscoll, Steve Udgefalusi, and Waterboy himself. If you want to license their music or hire them to make music of your own, get in touch with me and I can put you in touch with them. So thanks for listening, and okay, good night. Goodbye.